My name is Al Whitney. Welcome to In Defense of Humanity on this 21st day of October, 2017. This program is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species while accepting and understanding that the current corporate commercial legal structure, both government and business is built upon, is actively seeking to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. Much of the information discussed on this show can be found on my website, anticorruptionsociety.com. If you need to remind yourself why humanity is worth defending, please read and enjoy the In Defense of Humanity page listed at the top of my website. I'd like to make new listeners aware that there is a free people's empowerment guide to our corporate commercial legal system on my website called Lawfully Yours. It is a collaboration of many men and women in the legal accountability movement. You can locate it by clicking on the Lawfully Yours tab at the top of the website. Our guide has been viewed more than 60,000 times since it was posted 2.5 years ago, and it's now in its 9th edition. We keep adding to it as more info and ideas come to our attention. This guide contains valuable strategies for challenging the non-existent authority of our corporate government, as does our Notice of Condition precedent webpage. Before I go into the program tonight, I kind of like to remind people who may not have had an opportunity or thought it was important to take a look at Lawfully Yours. I think maybe the best way to describe that is this is a guide for everyday law, because everyday law is not we don't have help from lawyers in everyday law. When you go into a hospital and sign a consent form, there's no lawyer by your side to explain what are the implications. When you get sign your marriage license, there's no lawyer standing next to you to explain all the implications. When you, in fact, when I went to have my rug cleaned, there was a form that was handed to me by the company that does the cleaning, and it had legal language on it. And there was no lawyer there to interpret that for me. This happens to us all the time. And the lawyers kind of know this, and they really don't much care, because if we get into trouble, then, of course, they think we're going to hire them to get ourselves out of trouble. So understanding the basics of the legal system that's currently in place, which is a commercial legal system, can really save you. I mean, it can help you in so many ways. These lawyers understand that we are out here signing things all the time, bank accounts, We are signing things all the time, and we are basically clueless as to what we're signing. And they just simply don't care. I mean, the bottom line is they want to earn their money. They've abandoned the public for the most part. And unless we're willing to pay them for advice for some complex issue, we're on our own. And that's why I think lawfully yours should be really considered a guide for everyday law, for just basic people trying to get through the day and are inundated with all of these agreements to sign. So I wanted to throw that in. Well, tonight I'd like to talk about, because more information has come to my attention, about the corruption of science and medicine. And I've talked a lot about this, particularly this year, a lot over the last several years. And it's just amazing to me how many more physicians or researchers have come forward that I really didn't even know about and, you know, signed on to this revolution, this place, people. They are absolutely causing more harm than good, and they don't know it. The doctors are being mind controlled. The money monsters at the top are completely happy with the system the way it is. They have no problem with us getting sick and sicker the minute we enter these medical institutions. That's not a problem for them. They think there are too many of us anyway, and they make a lot of money off of our illness. So any solution is going to come from the bottom up. I doubt very much it'll come from the top down. However, those of us who understand it can certainly help spread the word that wonderful physicians and researchers are trying to spread. They've written books. They're trying to share this information to the best of their ability. It isn't easy for them. So I always like to promote them, and they are truthfully my heroes. So tonight I'm going to start with a little clip from a researcher and a physician who is with the American Council on Science and Health, when he was remarking on an op-ed piece that was written in 2015 by Dr. Richard Horton. And I'll read you some of that next. But let's listen to what Gilbert Ross of the American Council on Science and Health has to say about our healthcare system.
A lot of what is published is incorrect. That's the assertion from the editor-in-chief of The Lancet, Dr. Richard Horton. He and others are referring to medical journals and scientific studies and the reliability of the results. After participating in a symposium in the UK, in his perspective, Dr. Horton writes, quote, "The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis, and flagrant conflicts of interest, as one participant puts it, poor methods get results. The information is chilling, but not so surprising here at ACSHA."
They're not all unreliable, but they're very often unreliable. They're based upon agendas and... The data are crafted to fit the author's original program, rather than having the conclusions flow from the experimental results. They are manipulated and distorted in such a way to suit the author's preconceived notions very commonly. Both academic researchers and institutions and journals all share responsibility for this basically what amounts to scientific malfeasance and deception. And it's impossible for even for scientists to determine what's valid research, much less for news media or the public. And this is very, very disturbing, obviously, because it means that our whole medical, pharmaceutical, scientific edifice is constructed on a foundation of sand, rather than steel or concrete. The answers to help improve this deplorable situation are not clear. it basically requires some improvement in the character of scientific researchers and the character of journals, the responsibility of editors to more thoroughly parse and vet the data that they're being presented with by researchers rather than simply trusting what the researchers say. Now that the problem has been exposed to some extent, and the emperor, the publications in many journals, the emperor has few, if any, clothes. Now perhaps we can wend our way towards clothing the emperor and bringing some more scientific rigor to the process of peer review and journal publication, which is the foundation of our scientific progress.
To read more on the topic, you can head to our website, aksha.org, and while you're there, don't forget to also sign up for your daily dose of news delivered straight to your inbox.
Okay, that was Dr. Gilbert Ross. He is the medical director of the American Council on Science and Health, and he's absolutely right. He was talking about this opinion piece, this comment piece that appeared in the Lancet, April 11th, 2015. I'm going to read you some of that. However, I do want to warn you about that website, American Council on Science and Health. They're good on some things, but they bought into the whole vaccine story. And this, apparently, Gilbert Ross still believes that vaccine science is good science. I think he's probably not even taking a look at it. He's just making the assumption that it is, when it is just as bad as any of the other science. Okay, so here's the title of Dr. Richard Horton, who was the editor-in-chief, and I think still is, of The Lancet, which is one of the most prestigious medical journals in the world. The title is, Offline, What is Medicine's Five Sigma? Quote, a lot of what is published is incorrect. Unquote. I'm not allowed to say who made this remark, because we were asked to observe Chatham House rules. We were also asked not to take photographs of slides. Those who worked for government agencies pleaded that their comments especially remain unquoted, since the forthcoming UK election meant they were living in purdah, a chilling state where severe restrictions on freedom of speech, are placed on anyone on the government's payroll. Why the paranoid concern for secrecy and non-attribution? Because this symposium on the reproducibility and reliability of biomedical research held at the Wellcome Trust in London last week touched on one of the most sensitive issues in science today, the idea that something has gone fundamentally wrong with one of our greatest human creations. The case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends of dubious importance, science has taken a turn towards darkness. As one participant put it, quote, poor methods get results, unquote. The Academy of Medical Sciences, Medical Research Council, and Biotechnology and Biological Sciences Research Council have now put their reputational weight against an investigation into these questionable research practices. The apparent endemity of bad research behavior is alarming. In their quest for telling a compelling story, scientists too often sculpt data to fit their preferred theory of the world, or they retrofit hypotheses to fit their data. Journal editors deserve their share of criticism, too. We aid and abet the worst behavior. Our acquiescence to the impact factor fuels an unhealthy competition to win a place in a select few journals. Our love of significance pollutes the literature with many a statistical fairy tale. And I will post a link to this comment that he actually published in The Lancet with the IDH on the IDH program links page. But this is pretty damning. I have talked about Dr. John Ioannidis, who wrote an article back in 2005 with absolutely the same take on what is going on. His article is called "Why Most Published Research Findings Are False." And I can post a link to that. That article appeared in the Public Library of Science Medical Journal, 2005. It really got a lot of uproar when that was published. But he is a statistical analyst. That's what he does. And he reviewed much of the common science that doctors are relying on when they treat their patients and found that it was basically statistically false. He, according to John Ioannidis, 90% of what doctors are using for in their treatment modalities are likely false. Now, that's scary. To me, that is really scary, and it should scare everyone. I know Jennifer Daniels was very straightforward on this all the time. She was in the system. She was asked to falsify research. I remember hearing her say that. And she pretty much figured out that this system is corrupt as can be. And as a result, people are being harmed. Some people are dying. So the next clip I'd like to play, I think we have time for it, is an excerpt from a talk that the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine gave. And the title of the talk is "The Truth About the Drug Companies." This, she gave this talk in October 2009. Can we play that clip, please?
Now, I won't say anything more about reforms tonight. What I'm going to do is, since I have a large audience here, I'm going to tell you some recommendations for yourselves as patients. First, take as few drugs as possible. Many Americans are now the victims of what's called polypharmacy, which means taking many drugs at once. And this is particularly true of senior citizens. Some senior citizens take 5, 6, 7 drugs every single day. These drugs have not been tested with each other. Clinical trials, which are sponsored by the industry and often designed by the industry, usually test drugs in young people because they're less likely to experience side effects, and they're tested in young people who are taking no other drugs and have no other conditions. So when an older person takes 5 or 6 or 7 drugs, that person is really taking a certain risk. We don't know how they all act together in an older person. So as few drugs as possible. Second, avoid new drugs. New drugs, as I said, are seldom tested in older people or in conjunction with other drugs, and they haven't been on the market long enough to see the side effects. When a drug is approved, the data on effectiveness are usually reasonably good. They come out of clinical trials. The data on safety are less good because it takes a larger population and a more typical population to see signals of danger. So my own practice is never to take a drug that has been on the market for less than 3 years.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one of them from Amazon.com. I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. I was a little bit alarmed, as I have always been in good health. I started this regime as soon as it arrived, and I have noted that the heaviness in my chest is gone and the pressure headaches I have been having are lessened. I am hoping to see greater results as time progresses, as I am an avid non-user of pharmaceuticals and avoid them at all cost if possible. This was, I think, a great alternative to heart medication. Not that I am a doctor, and for some, there is no choice, but again, for someone like me, I am so far pleased with the results. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Never. And I like 5 years even better. When I say never, that's probably too strong a statement. I mean, I can imagine a new antibiotic coming in, and it is the only antibiotic that kills this particular lethal organism. So, yes, I would take that. The risk would be worth it. But in general, I have a sort of 3-year cutoff. Three, you should remember the importance of lifestyle changes. They are often effective and usually safe. Not many studies, because they are sponsored by the industry, actually compare drugs head-to-head with lifestyle changes. But there have been a few, mainly dealing with type 2 diabetes and the prevention of type 2 diabetes. And when they compare exercise and diet with drugs, the exercise and diet blows away the drugs. Much more effective. So in certain ways, this is the place to go. Four, ignore every single drug ad you see. Push the mute button. Just don't look at those things. Don't ask your doctor whether Nexium is right for you. Five, beware of internet information. Now, there's some wonderful information on the internet, but there's a lot of very bad information, and there's a a lot of information that is sponsored by the industry. So you have to be very careful about it. Know your source. And finally, I decided I would do this. Let me go back again. Give you a good source. Well, there are a couple of good sources, but one of the best sources out there is a book that's put out every, updated and put out every couple of years by Public Citizens Health Research Group. And it's called Worst Pills, Best Pills. You can go to the web, I get nothing from this. You can go to citizen.org or Public Citizen. Go to their health research group. You will see ads for this book. It's a big book. It's really good. Worst Pills, Best Pills, A Consumer's Guide to Avoiding Drug-Induced Death or Illness. Consumer Reports also has been doing some good work on this. In conjunction with the Oregon Health Science University, they have now been looking at families of Me Too drugs, the cholesterol-lowering drugs, the antidepressants, and they'll give you a little table of the relative costs and certain data, what is known about how they compare with one another. So that's another place that you might go.
Okay, I thought that was valuable information that she offered there. However, I think she could have gone further. It's hard to know back in it. In fact, probably she wouldn't have known when she gave that lecture in 2009 about the new movement called alltrials.com, which is growing. There is a growing realization that they may do 100 trials on a drug, and they only have to submit 2 for approval, and they have been known to repeat trials until they get what they want, and then the other 98 trials just simply disappear. I don't know that she's aware of that, and that's really frightening to think that they could be aware of a lot of really bad results. They are ignoring them, they're flushing them more or less, and they're putting forth 2 that seem to support, generally, in a very small difference at all. You know, just a few more patients do a little bit better is kind of what these trials seem to be all about. So they cherry-pick the clinical trials. She doesn't mention that. That's gone on all over the place. She did say, and people need to hear that, she is saying that she doesn't take a drug that has been on the market 3 or 5 years because she's waiting to see what the post-marketing reports are going to be as to whether or not the drug is safe. The public, the general public, is under the impression that when a drug is approved by the FDA, it is both effective and safe. And you heard her say in her talk, well, there's no guarantee in safety until the reports come in and the drug's been on the market a long time. And you know what? A lot of people can die in that process. So stay tuned. Did I hear the music? Oh, I guess not. So she did mention at the end that if we get this good drugs, bad drugs, the worst drugs, I can't remember the name of the book that she's recommending, it can help prevent drug-induced death and illness. So she is admitting that there are people who are being killed by Big Pharma right now, every day. Okay, we're going to break. We'll be back shortly.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing.
Welcome back to In Defense of Humanity. I'm Al Whitney. Tonight we're talking about corruption in medicine and science. I'm sure most of the RBN listeners know that the whole concept that man-made CO2 global warming is bogus. The amount of corruption in science is just mind-blowing if you take a close look at it. Absolutely mind-blowing. And sadly, many of the scientists actually believe what they're saying. I think these physicians probably do believe what the drug companies are saying. I don't know how many of them are aware of Marsha Angell or Dr. John Ioannidis. Unfortunately, what I saw this past year in a major medical facility, I mean, we're talking huge, major medical facility, when a close relative was extremely critically ill, they are not taking heed at all to John Ioannidis or Marsha Angell, and they are just prescribing like crazy. In fact, recently my relative got a copy of his hospitalization record, And it came in the mail, and he started looking at it, and I started looking at it, and we were actually quite surprised by what we saw. Remember, he was very ill, so he was not in a position to scrutinize the therapies or the medications that they were, you know, foistering onto him. And I was very kind of protective, trying to run around and figure out what these drugs were, what were these procedures, you know, because what they've done, at least in our case, is they have doctors rotating in and out of service. So you get one doctor for a week. If you're in there for any length of time, then another doctor comes in and he does what he wants. And they're too busy to talk to you, so you don't often get to talk to them. They talk to the patient. Many times the patient is medicated. Sometimes the patient, in the case of my relative, had been receiving sedatives, for goodness sakes. So they think they're doing their part by explaining what's going on in the patient, but the patient is not really with it. So it was a nightmare. When we looked at the record, however, the summary, it's called discharge summary, of that first stay when this relative went from acute care in a hospital to a rehab hospital for 11 days to try to get some strength back before he went home. So upon release from the hospital, they are obligated to write discharge summaries. And on these discharge summaries, they put a little paragraph about each problem that the patient has, little descriptive paragraph, and then they list all the discharge medications. When we looked at that list, there were seven on it. These are really potent drugs. And I showed it to my husband, who is a retired physician. And he looked at this list and he said, my gosh, if that man had taken those drugs, he would not be alive today. That's what he said. They are absolutely potent drugs, dangerous drugs. The list includes amiodarone, which has a black box warning, which has post-marketing reports of kidney failure, lung toxicity, and liver toxicity, both of the level that patients die when these occur. That's amiodarone. Then there was another one called Lipitor. Lipitor is prescribed for cholesterol reduction. This patient never had a cholesterol study or test done. It was just assumed because his problem was cardiac that they should put him on Lipitor. Then they gave another cardiac drug, Coreg. Then they gave him two hypertensive medications. One of them he was supposed to take three times a day. The other one he was supposed to take one tablet every 8 hours. It's just, you look at this and my mind was blown. I don't think anybody, I don't care what your age. Not only would you might not have survived this cocktail that they're putting together, you would certainly not recover enough to feel good again. You would never experience feeling good again if you put yourself on these drugs. One of the drugs that's been prescribed has a 27% chance of heart failure occurring, and they're prescribing that drug for patients with heart failure. Now, I just quite don't get it, you know. Why would you, any drug that would increase heart failure, why would you give that to a patient who already has significant heart failure? That's what's going on out there, folks. That is real. I've looked at the paperwork. This is not, I'm not a doctor. I'm a retired respiratory therapist, but I know all these terms. I've looked them up, and it blows my mind to think that things have gotten this bad. I know Jennifer Daniels has been saying this for years. I had not witnessed it. Sometimes you have to witness it up close and personal to get the full magnitude of the problem. And this is why I'm kind of doing this program and why I kind of harp on this again and again and again, to warn all the listeners what medicine has become. You have to advocate for yourself. There's no other way. It is dangerous to just sit back and let your doctor call the shots. He is too uninformed. He's too ill-informed. He doesn't take the time. I mean, can you imagine all these drugs act on different parts of your body? And as Dr. Angel said, they haven't all been tested together. We got 7 drugs here. They don't have any clinical trial of what this kind of patient, the one that was my relative, very sick, what happens to this kind of patient when you pour 7 different drugs in him on a daily basis. They don't even know. That's kind of like, do you feel lucky? I don't mean to be frightening to people, but it is frightening, and people need to pay attention, ask questions. I don't like being the only one when I go in to see the doctors and they tell me, well, other people don't ask these kind of questions. I'm tired of hearing that, folks. You all have to start doing this if you're going to see a doctor at all. And again, we've talked about the fact that an emergency could occur. You might find yourself in a hospital situation you never thought would happen. So it doesn't hurt to be forewarned, to be a little bit aware of what's going on. Get someone to go with you. Get someone to watch over you. Get someone to look up the drugs for you. Get someone that you can talk to about it, because you cannot just assume that what they're doing will cause you no harm. I couldn't believe it. She admitted drug-induced death. And that's the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Well, we'd be happy to have callers. Let me give you the number for those who don't know it. It's 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. The other thing that I have talked about previously, but I looked it up today again, is that there is a website called Dollars for Docs. And this is amazing. I looked up the physician that my relative was seeing, and my relative had a pacemaker put in, okay, by this physician. And so I looked him up, and lo and behold, there is a list of the money he received from the very company who made the pacemaker. The company's name is Boston Scientific, and he got a grant from them. The third-party payee was Ohio State University. This is all public knowledge. One grant he got from them was worth $3,750. The following year, he got $3,300. The year after that, he got $3,300. So the question is, what was the grant for? It doesn't say on that website. All it says is he got a grant. I'm going to presume it was a grant to do research, right? I mean, I don't think they would have hired a physician to design pacemakers. He wouldn't know that much about the technology. He was not an engineer. But they would hire a physician, pay a physician, give him a grant to implement the pacemaker that they make on his patients and give them feedback. That I can see happening. So here's the question. When he took that money to do this grant, and we're assuming it was a research grant, did he tell the patients that they were guinea pigs, that he was studying them, that he was inserting this company's equipment in these sick patients, and he was giving feedback to the company as to how the patients were doing? Did he ask the patient if they wanted to participate in a trial? And I think I'm going to encourage my relative to meet with his doctor and show him the results of this Dollars for Docs. and ask him what kind of research he was doing, and ask him, was I a part of your research project? How do you decide which patients to follow? I mean, these are important questions, people. I don't know about you, but I'm with Dr. Angel. I want the older thing that's tried and true. All the bugs are worked out. I don't want the latest device from Boston Scientific in my body because the bugs haven't been worked out. Obviously, they're paying a grant. They're giving them a grant to get information about their latest technology. The device companies, from what I've observed, are just as much of a problem today as the drug companies. Same exact problem. They want to market their product. They want the doctors to use their product. They inflate how wonderful their product is. They de-emphasize what can go wrong. And who's really got all the risk? The patient. Who's taking all the risk? The patient. Is the doctor taking the risk? No, it's the patient. When those seven drugs got prescribed for that man, exactly as she said, she wasn't sure she would take that kind of risk. All the risk is on the patient. And somehow doctors are mind controlled to the point where they make these comments like, well, in your case, it's worth the risk. Well, I'd like to hear callers. Do you think a doctor should decide in your case if it's worth the risk, or should you? I mean, we're the ones who are going to suffer the consequences. I don't think he has the right to make that decision because he's going to move along the next day and see more patients. If you took the risk and died, well, that wouldn't probably be a problem to him. And the thing that about this list of seven medications, the symptoms could very well have replicated the symptoms of heart failure, and the doctor would have felt just fine on the death certificate put that he died of heart failure. He would never put on there that he died from a drug overdose, multiple drugs overdose. So, as you can tell, I'm concerned about what's happening in the medical profession. I am with Jennifer Daniels pretty much, but she can't account for what happens when someone has a heart attack. I mean, that's when we get thrown into their system and we're not generally ready. So do we have any callers who have any medical comments they'd like to add or stories? The number is 800-313-9443. This has been such an eye-opener for me. I knew things were bad. I had no idea they were as bad as they are. I had no idea that these patients are at such risk. Now, I noticed in the facility where my relative was, all the patients were put in rooms for just one man, one woman. I didn't see, they were all private rooms. And I have to wonder, if you've got patients in private rooms, folks, you're unaware of what's happening to any other patient, are you? That patient is isolated. If the patient's being treated badly, no one knows. The only one who would know is the patient or his and his family isn't there. I think without having roommates that we are even in more peril because they can make all kinds of mistakes that a roommate might catch, but the patient himself or herself being sick may never know the error occurred. Okay, we have a caller from Texas, Roxanne. Good evening, Roxanne.
Hey. I've got a couple of quick statements, and I'll just get off there. But we're from the government. We look for answers. We're not finding answers. And Dr. Lube of the Pulse nightclub took care of who? Angel Colon. It's in our face. Have a good night.
I didn't, Roxanne?
Yes?
I didn't understand that. Who's Angel? I didn't understand that.
Do you remember the shooting at the Pulse nightclub?
No. So maybe you ought to tell me.
Down in Florida.
Okay.
That was down in Florida. One of those shootings.
Okay.
Whatever. Remember that? And Dr. Liu, his patient's name was Angel Colon.
Okay.
It's sort of in our faces of how foolish it all is.
Oh, you think, in other words, you think that's just more of their reporting nonsense to us.
Right. I mean, but look, it's in our faces. Dr. Liu took care of Angel Colon. I mean, really? It's pathetic.
Well, now we're back to our wonderful media, huh? Okay, we'll be back shortly.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down, and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I can't believe I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. Defense of Humanity. Tonight we're talking about corruption in science and medicine, and we have a caller from Wisconsin. I've been to that state. Hi, Fred. How are you?
Just wanted to report about testosterone poisoning. I'm 70 okay. years old. I do exercises. I take care of myself as best I can. I had an incident where I was wondering about my testosterone. I decided to go to my doctor. My doctor did a test. He said I had low T. They decided to give me a testosterone. It was in the form of a salve. It cost about $742.
Oh my gosh.
I have a good insurance plan, so I didn't really have to pay much. But I was to take this and put it on my upper arms once a day. I was doing that up until the 18th of April. At that point, I had horrible pain, weakness. I contacted Deagle, who was on this network at that time, gave him my symptoms. He told me, jump off of it, get off of it. They're giving you too much. I went back to my doctor with that information. Of course, they ended the use of it. It's now the 21st of October. I'm finally getting back to doing girly push-ups. I used to do 100 a day, and I used an ab slide. I did 100 of those. I was doing curls with my arms. I had pretty good upper body strength, but the testosterone destroyed me. And they have all these commercials, people saying low T, get rid of your belly fat, all this kind of stuff. And I just went the right way. I went through my doctor. I thought, okay, he would know better than GNC. So there it is, and I just wanted to put it out there for people.
Well, I'm glad you're sharing that because, you know what, the way this thing is playing out, Fred, I'm listening to people when I talk about these medications. I am actually listening. I think I'm getting more good information from the people who've taken the medication than I'm getting from the journals or the doctors.
Well, like I said, this is my experience. My doctor stepped up, you know, took me off of it. It's been a while now. I'm getting my strength back, but it was a horrible, horrible, painful experience losing. I couldn't pick up a gallon of milk. Could not pick it up.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's what happened, and I just wanted to move along on that, but thank you for your time, ma'am.
You're welcome, and thanks for that information. That's the problem, and what's the best news I've had all week, two women that I know, I'm not sure, well, yeah, they might know each other, but they don't live near each other. They didn't do this collaboratively. They did this independently. One of them was put on multiple medications, and when I talked to her, she said, oh, my gosh, they were making me feel horrible. She said, I quit all but one. The other one, apparently he had a heart condition, was in the hospital, was given all of these cardiac meds, probably Lipitor, everything. She felt horrible, and I believe she's in her 70s, and she just weaned herself off of all of them, and you should see how good she looks. She's flying around in her car. You know, she's getting her hair done. She's doing errands. She's just doing great. Now, I didn't talk to either one of them when they made that decision. It just shocked me that independently people are making that decision all on their own. Okay, stay tuned and we'll be back shortly.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.